We begin this hour in Washington, D.C. Donald Trump, first night back at the White House, first statement on his health after release from hospital, plus a huge slapdown on the Democrats. The U.S. president's doctor says that Mr. Trump had a restful night, reports no symptoms, and vital signs are stable. So he is doing, quote, extremely well.
Clearly well enough to re-engage battle with the Democrats calling off talks on a new stimulus plan to tackle the impact from COVID-19. Now, he tweeted accusing Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of not negotiating in good faith after he made a generous offer of $1.6 trillion. He claims that she asked for much more to bail out Democrat states that are poorly run and high crime, no way related to COVID-19. Now, Mr. Trump has told his team to stop the talks until after the election, which he predicts he will win, and then pass a major stimulus bill.
Well, Mrs. Pelosi slammed the president, saying that he is showing his true colors by walking away and refusing to give real help to Americans. She accused him of being unwilling to crush the virus. The president is continuing his message of having no fear of COVID-19, like removing his mask after returning to the White House. And it could turn into a new battle on social media.
But Twitter slapped a warning on this post for being misleading and potentially harmful, while Facebook deleted it on its platform. And Mr. Trump likened COVID-19 to the flu, telling people to learn to live with it. In reaction to the actions by Twitter and Facebook, he called for the repeal of Section 230, which protects internet companies from legal liability for content posted on their services.
Meantime, Mr. Trump's Democratic rival for the White House bid, Joe Biden, is urging people to put politics aside to tackle the pandemic. He was in the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
210,000 Americans dead. And the number's climbing. It's estimated that nearly another 210,000 Americans could lose their lives by the end of the year. Enough. No more. Let's just set partisanship aside. Let's end the politics and follow the science. Wearing a mask is not a political statement. It's a scientific recommendation.
Well, over in the key swing state of Ohio, long lines for early voting and safe distances kept in the queues while masks were required inside polling centers. Well, nearly 4 million Americans have already cast their votes with less than a month to the presidential election. That's 53 times the number at the same stage in the last election. The latest opinion polls show that Joe Biden widened his lead to 8 percentage points over Donald Trump in the battleground state of Michigan and head-to-head in North Carolina.
We can expect the battle to heat up further for sure. President Trump casting aside any doubt about his appearance at the next debate with Joe Biden, tweeting that he is looking forward to it. Meantime, their running mates Mike Pence and Kamala Harris are getting set for their debate in Salt Lake City, Utah, where they will be separated by a plexiglass barrier. And that's happening just a day from now, and CNA will take you there live for full coverage and analysis. We've got to complete coverage for you on the ever-evolving story out of the US. So before we get to our Washington Bureau Chief Simon Marks, let's take a look at the market reaction with Avril Hong. How bad was it, Avril?
It was bad, Adam. The president once again moving markets stateside. On Monday, we saw stocks climb on the news that he was leaving hospital. But now, with the president seemingly back at work, he managed to send the major indices lower with a set of tweets. It wasn't just any run-of-the-mill Twitter salvo from the president's personal account, though. For months now, both the Republicans and Democrats have been negotiating for the next stimulus package. But with no agreement in sight, Mr. Trump tweeted to call off stimulus talks until after November's election. And that dealt a huge blow to America's slowing economy. And as you can see, the markets weren't happy. The 30-stock Dow was up more than 200 points before Mr. Trump's tweet was sent. Both the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq were also higher earlier. But as you can see, they all closed well into negative territory.
Thanks, Avril. Let's bring in our U.S. Bureau Chief Simon Marks in Washington, D.C. Simon, President Trump calling off talks for a new stimulus package, portraying COVID-19 like a flu. All this barely 24 hours to the vice presidential debate. I mean, are you seeing any recalibration of his campaign strategy since leaving hospital?
Well, there's definitely a recalibration going on. It's just very difficult, Julie, to understand logically what he's trying to do. I mean, let's just pick up on what happened to the markets, as Avril was saying there, with President Trump's intervention on Twitter, suddenly, towards the latter part of the trading day, announcing that he was pulling the rug out from beneath stimulus negotiations that only a couple of days ago he insisted must reach fruition, and that earlier in the day, the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, warned were absolutely critical to ensuring the prosperity and security of millions of Americans all over the country, that he did it while trading was still taking place. Very uncharacteristic. President Trump normally is keenly aware of what's going on Wall Street and of the impact of any intervention that he might make. Nancy Pelosi, his Democrat nemesis, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, was in the middle of a call with fellow Democrats in Congress when she saw the tweet. She described it as mischaracterizing the state of negotiations. She wondered aloud if the steroids that the president is taking to deal with COVID-19 may in some way be impairing his judgment. And she spoke of the White House being in complete disarray. That disarray, by the way, has been magnified just over the course of the last few minutes. We have learned just as we were coming on air tonight that another top Trump aide has tested positive for COVID-19. This time it is Stephen Miller. He is the president's young, right-wing principal speechwriter, the architect of Donald Trump's harder line policies towards immigration. And he is now self-isolating after becoming, by the count of ABC News here, the 24th official or member of staff at the White House to test positive over the course of the last few days. So that is adding to this sense that things inside the White House are not quite under control, even though President Trump has been trying to insist he's feeling lots better. And he says he will definitely be at that debate, that second presidential debate in Miami next week.
Right. Seems like they're falling like dominoes there in the White House. OK, Simon, let's get to the storm on social media. Facebook is banning the conspiracy theory QAnon, removing their pages from Facebook and Instagram. For those not familiar with QAnon, what is that for the viewers here in Asia, and how effective is it going to be in removing misinformation ahead of the election?
Well, QAnon, prior to Donald Trump being in the White House, was a group of conspiracy theorists who tended to occupy the darker corners of the internet. But as a result of the political changes that we've seen here in Washington over the last 4 years, those theories have begun bleeding in to the political mainstream here. Indeed, it's almost certain that a conspiracy theory QAnon supporter is about to win election to the U.S. Congress from the state of Georgia. And a number of these ideas now exhibit themselves on a continuing basis in mainstream political conversation here, because so many QAnon supporters are very heavily supportive of President Donald Trump. Facebook said today that it is going to ban any groups, pages, or Instagram accounts that represent QAnon. Remember that Facebook also owns Instagram. They're not going to close down the accounts of individuals. And while Facebook is clearly making big moves in this regard, and as you said earlier today, even deleted an entire post from President Trump comparing COVID-19 once again to the seasonal flu, Facebook is being accused by some of acting too late. It's been 3 years since Facebook's attention was first drawn by QAnon opponents to some of the conspiracy theories that it was peddling on the social media platform. And some of those people argue that Facebook should have taken this action a lot earlier. But it certainly indicates a hardening of an approach on the part of Facebook towards misinformation and conspiracy theories as the United States hurtles very rapidly towards Election Day here.
Simon, thank you very much for that. It's great to see you. Simon Marks from Washington, D.C.